Well, we live in a world where it is unwise to trust a stranger. We live in a world where we can't trust anyone. There is so much evil in this world, and there is so much satanic influence in this world. That's one of the reasons why we bless our children, because we want them to be shielded from these things that are in the world. But it is the type of world where it's dangerous just to walk down a dark street, and you never know what's around the next corner. You never know if it's safe to leave your car parked on the street. And I don't think any of us would consider leaving our car on a street with the keys in it. Now, I have a neighbor who never takes her keys out of her car. We don't have a lot of crime on our street, at least we haven't yet. I think she's pushing it. She leaves her house unlocked. She leaves her keys in her car. One day I had to go over and ask her to move her car because a truck was coming through down the street and her car was in the way, and she told me, "Oh, the keys are in, just go ahead and move it." That's not a wise thing to do, especially if you expect to find the car to be there when you return. Even just leaving your car unlocked is a bit of a risk, because car thieves are clever. They can start a car without keys. Of course, having your car stolen is not the only danger. There's always the risk of the car being stripped or at least robbed. If you've got anything valuable in it, you know, you might lose it. So today we have theft deterrent systems in many vehicles. We have alarm systems. We have kill switches where you can flip a switch under the dashboard that doesn't allow the car to start, and a car thief doesn't know it's there. And then there's the famous club, the big bar that goes on your steering wheel and locks into place so that your steering wheel can't be turned. We have microchips embedded into our car keys, and if you try to use a key that doesn't have the chip in there, it's not going to work. We have tracking systems that use GPS to find your car if it's been stolen. We have all of these different systems in place to protect our personal property. Well, just like you wouldn't be wise to leave your car unlocked or leave the keys in it, it would also be unwise to go on vacation and leave your home unlocked. Maybe you live in a safe neighborhood where there's no crime. Maybe you live out in the middle of nowhere where nobody ever goes anyway. But regardless, it's still foolish to leave your home and your property unguarded, because a break-in can happen anywhere at any time. And you're especially susceptible if someone knows your house is vacant. And so many homes today are protected by home security systems. We have cameras, we have motion detectors, we have window and door switches. And they all work together to alert you and to alert the authorities of an intrusion. But they don't work, of course, unless the system has been armed. We go to great lengths to protect our physical assets. With all of these different systems to prevent theft, to prevent intrusion, we sometimes go to great expense to protect these things. How diligently do we protect our spiritual assets? God has opened our mind to discern spiritual things. God has given us His Holy Spirit, a gift that helps us understand God's way of life. His Spirit helps us to overcome the ways of the world. It helps keep us from the influence of Satan. God's Spirit helps us to keep our minds where they're supposed to be. But just because we have God's Spirit doesn't necessarily mean we're using it. And we need to be cautious because if we don't use it, we could lose it. Now, spiritual understanding is a rare gift that very few people have in this world. It is a gift that God has given us, and we must be diligent in protecting this precious gift. I'd like you to go to Proverbs chapter 4 and read verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Keep, that is, guard or protect your mind, your heart. Protect it. Shield it. Because there is an adversary out there that is trying to get an evil influence into it. Verse 24, "Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. A corrupt mind will show itself with corrupt words." Verse 25, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." If we aren't careful, we can be led down a path of destruction. What is in the mind is going to manifest itself. It's going to come out one way or the other. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. In Luke 6, verse 45, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." Whatever is in your mind, whatever is in your heart, sooner or later, it is going to come out your mouth. It is going to make itself manifest. Now, we're striving to live God's way. But we can't live God's way if our mind is going the other way. We need to protect our mind. We need to set a guard on our mind, just like we would on our physical property. We need to protect and secure and guard the mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It's an admonition here that Peter writes to us on this very topic. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. He says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." What is meant by girding the loins of your mind? What is a modern-day instrument that we have today for girding one's loins? We call it a belt. We have a belt around our waist. Why do men wear a belt? Well, it keeps their britches from falling down, basically. It keeps them from an embarrassing situation. It keeps the garments securely in place where they need to be. And girding the mind secures it from the former lust. It helps us to maintain an attitude of mind that is godly, that is not going along the lines of our former way of life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. When God gives us His Spirit, when He calls us out of the world, He expects us to have newness of mind. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Our former thoughts, our former attitudes, our former lifestyle has been put away. When we went down under the water at baptism, the old man was buried in a watery grave, and a new man emerged. A new man came out with newness of life. We now have a different way of thinking. We now have God's Spirit. Hands were laid on us at baptism, and we received God's Spirit. We now have a different way of thinking. We call that the mind of Christ. A very high price was paid for us to be that new person. Jesus Christ shed His blood for us. That was quite a price that was paid. He paid the penalty for our old way of life. We've been cleaned up. We've been washed. We've been given a new mind. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. It says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we've been given a new mind. We've been given God's Spirit, and we've taken on the mind of Christ. We are to maintain that new mind, and we are to protect it. We're to shield it. We're to guard it against evil influences. I keep turning this volume down, and I keep hearing a hum. Do you all hear the hum out there? Okay. Every now and then I turn it down just a little bit more. I'm afraid I'm going to turn it down too far. You're not going to hear me at all. I'm not even saying anything to some of you. Am I doing something wrong? Ah. So imagine you have an old car. It's in rough shape. And it needs a lot of work. It was an old, beat-up car. Wasn't worth too much, but you kind of liked it and you wanted it, so you wanted to fix it up. And you put everything in it that you have just to restore it. You put your life savings into this car just about to make it what you want it to be. You know that it has potential. You know that it can be something special. And so you clean it up, you fix it, you polish it, you get rid of all the rust spots, you shine it up real nice, and you make something beautiful out of it. When it's finished, it looks polished and new. And it's basically not the same car that you started with. Wouldn't you want to keep that car in a garage? Wouldn't you want to keep it somewhere where it's protected, out of the weather? Wouldn't you do your best to keep it protected from scratches? I mean, you've got a lot invested in it. Don't you want to protect it from birds? Now, I don't know about you, but where I live, we have a lot of birds that fly over my car and use it for target practice. Wouldn't you want to protect that car from something like that? Wouldn't you want to protect it from hail or from the weather? God has invested a lot in us. We started out as that old beat up, ugly old car that wasn't worth anything. And he cleaned us up and he shined us up and he cleansed us of our sins. Invested everything he had in us. Don't you think he expects his investment to be protected? It's up to us to guard our minds, to guard the mind of Christ in us. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We're to bring every thought into captivity. We're to guard our thoughts. We're to guard our minds against things that aren't good for it. The newness of mind is to be preserved. Our very thoughts are to be kept under control. It is important that we preserve the mind of Christ in us. Now, God does not have any tolerance for sin, and neither should we. But what if we expose our mind to repeated violations of God's law? What if over and over again we're exposed to things that are blatant disregard for the law of God? Don't you think we're going to begin to become a little more tolerant of such things? I mean, if we see things on a daily basis, we're going to begin to accept those things. Do you ever cringe when you hear God's name used in a wrong manner? Doesn't it just do something to you when you hear that? You hear somebody use God's name in a way that it should never be used? Doesn't it just make you want to correct somebody and speak to them about it? Of course, we don't do that because that's not our place, but doesn't it give you that little twinge when you hear it? Or maybe you hear it day after day after day, and after a while, it just becomes ordinary, acceptable. We have to be careful of what we allow in and what we allow ourselves to consider as acceptable. You know, you hear God's name used at work. You hear it used on the street, in a grocery store, in a crowd of people. You hear this, and perhaps you've heard it so much that it seems normal, and so normal, in fact, if you're not careful, you might find yourself doing it as well. You might find yourself using that name in a wrong way. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." See, this is why we need to renew the new man on a daily basis. Because things can happen in our lives that happen on a daily basis that we'll begin to accept, that we'll begin to tolerate. These influences are always around us. It's like that shiny car that you've got, and you have this car that you fixed up, and you have the urge to clean it every day. You have the urge to get out there and start polishing it and shining it. Do you have the urge to cleanse your mind and shine it and clean it up on a daily basis? I mean, we should be repenting on a daily basis. We should be coming before God and confessing our sins to Him. And we should be praying and studying and have that contact with God daily and keeping our minds where they should be. Our mind has to be refreshed and renewed on a daily basis. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Where your mind is going to determine how you live. In Romans 8, verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We need a spiritual security system. We need to guard our mind because the world around us is geared to polluting it. And it starts with our children at a very young age. This world starts to influence them. Satan's society has ways of influencing our children even before we realize it, before we even influence them, before we have the chance to teach them things. This world is already doing the job. What they see on television, what they see in commercials influences them. And don't think they aren't drinking it all in. You would be surprised what a two-year-old child can understand and glean from television. The entertainment industry is a real threat to our security, to the security of our mind. Hollywood makes every attempt to corrupt our thoughts, to corrupt our minds. Nearly all movies that come out nowadays have either violence in some form, adultery in some form, or some form of the occult. Almost every movie you see has one of these. There were some movies that came out this past summer that you see these things and you hear about them and you just wonder, how can they get away with it? There was a movie that came out this past summer called Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Now, the description for this movie went like this. It said, "The battle between the good and evil forces of the wizarding world escalates into an all-out war." That's what this movie is about. The battle between the good and evil forces of the wizarding world. Now, I didn't know there was a good and an evil side to wizardry. There was a movie that came out this past summer. It was, oh, by the way, Harry Potter movie was rated PG-13, in case you're wondering. There was a movie came out called Horrible Bosses that was rated R. And it was about three frustrated employees who hatch a plan to kill their micromanaging bosses, only to find their murderous plot snowballing into disaster. Need I say more? A comedy about plotting to commit murder. What does that do to the mind? It's a heinous crime, and yet it's presented as something lighthearted and comical. So we begin to accept these things. We begin to get a little calloused toward evil. Another R-rated movie called Bad Teacher. I don't think any of these are in the theaters any longer. They're probably out on video now. You might want to try to avoid them there. Bad Teacher was a movie about a booze-swelling, pot-smoking, hard-swearing seventh-grade teacher who rallies to get out of the classroom for good by wrangling a rich substitute teacher into marriage. One review on this movie stated, "This movie was atrocious. It should have had an X rating, not R. This is the new worst movie ever in my book. No one under 21 should be allowed to see it, I can only hope the children in the movie were compensated richly for their performances, not allowed to see the final product, and given therapy as part of their compensation package. Must have been a really bad movie. There was a movie that came out called Transformers, The Dark Side of the Moon, a PG-13 movie. 2.5 hour long, extremely violent action film under the premise of science fiction with its obligatory share of fornication and a touch of crude humor. And then there was the R-rated movie entitled Friends with Benefits. No synopsis needed here, just another show detailing two people discovering cohabitation and what does this teach our kids. These are the kind of things that are infiltrating the minds of our children, our teenagers, our young adults, and these are the kind of things that need to be avoided. What kind of influence do you think they have on the mind? Young people are especially impressionable. And not one of these movies will likely make a person violent or promiscuous. But it certainly will make these things a little more tolerable. It will make them a little more acceptable. Our senses become dulled toward these evils of society. Do you remember Gone with the Wind? Do you remember how people got all excited back in 1939 because somebody in the movie said the word damn? How awful that was. And now what? That's the least of our worries today. That's mild compared to some of these things. You know, there was a time when the lifestyles that are portrayed in these films weren't real life. There was a time when couples didn't live together until they got married. There was a time when being gay was rare. And it was also an unacceptable lifestyle. What we saw in the movies wasn't the way life really was. But as time went on, life became that way because it began to become more acceptable. And now, today, nowhere to go but down. It's just getting worse and worse. The TV industry is not any better, and in some ways it's worse than the movies. Because TV shows can be viewed by any member of the family. All ages have access to this type of programming, and the adult content is not always confined to late night like it used to be. I mean, our kids can come home from school, get on the computer, go on to NBC.com, and they can watch whatever episode of whatever show they want, no matter what time of day it normally airs. It's viewable by any member of the family. All ages have access to this type of programming. Have you seen some of the ads for some of the shows that have come out this year? There's a show that's coming to television next month. It's supposed to start in November. It's a show called I Hate My Teenage Daughter. It's a show about two single moms. Each has a daughter. The moms have no control over their daughters, and the daughters have no respect for the moms. Real role models here, aren't they? This is the kind of thing you want your kids to be watching, right? I don't think so. What does that teach? There's a new show out called Suburgatory. A half hour of crude humor and innuendo. It's not exactly a family show, but it shows at 8:30 p.m. Remember the family viewing hour they used to have many years ago? That's sort of thrown out the window. There's a new TV show now called Revenge. The show starts out, the trailer for the pilot starts out saying, "This is not a story about forgiveness." I guess you can figure that out by the title, Revenge. It's about a young girl's family and their reputation being ruined. And so years later, when she's grown, she sets out to seek vengeance at any cost. Not exactly a biblical principle, is it? What does it teach the viewer who sees her as the good guy? And she's going around trying to exact as much revenge as she can on all these people who ruined her family when she was a child. And I guess each episode she does somebody in, or she, I don't know what she does. I've not seen the show and I don't care to see it. But she just goes from one episode to the next trying to get revenge for her family. A new show just started called The Secret Circle. Story about a 16-year-old girl who moves from California to live with her mom in New Salem and falls in love with a mysterious boy named Adam. But when she enrolls in high school there, she realizes that she and all the other elite students at the school are witches. She befriends their leader, Diana, but soon discovers that Adam and Diana are dating, which leads to a whole bunch of complicated drama. Yeah. This is what's on TV, and your kids can see it. There was another show that came on this season called The Playboy Club. I don't think I have to say too much about that. The title kind of speaks for itself. The Parents Television Council urged NBC stations across the country not to air the series because they claimed that it glorifies and glamorizes the porn industry. NBC affiliate KMYU in Salt Lake City refused to air the show. As it turned out, the show didn't get a whole lot of viewing. Not too many viewers tuned in, and it was canceled after 3 episodes. So, good riddance to that one. It's amazing how immorality tends to find a way into shows that we call comedies. Things that we're supposed to be able to sit there and laugh at and enjoy and get some good feelings out of it, and all of this stuff gets thrown in. Shows with themes of violence, demons, and witchcraft is just all over the place. Drug use. We see drugs being used in a lot of different shows and movies and TV. Countless shows that make being gay seem normal. And these things even show up in places where you wouldn't expect it. I'm going to pick on a few other networks now. I'm going to pick on a few shows with G ratings. Yes, G ratings. Any of you ever watch HGTV, the Home and Garden Television Channel? They have several home improvement type shows on there, where they'll take an old house and they'll start to work on it and fix it up, and maybe they'll help a young couple who's just bought a house to furnish the house or to improve it in some way, or maybe help them find a new house. Different types of shows that they have on this channel. And all of the shows on the channel have a G rating, which means suitable for all audiences. And it might go around following these young homeowners as they remodel their home or search for a new one. The only thing is that 50% of the time, you can count on this, the young couple is two guys or two girls. A subtle injection of the notion that this is acceptable on these G-rated TV shows. Exposure to these things hardens us to the evils therein. If we surround ourselves with this kind of stuff, we begin to accept it. It's very subtle. It comes a little at a time. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. It doesn't say surround yourself with them. It says turn away. Get your mind off of that. These are wrong influences. And that's how people get this way, by surrounding themselves with wrong influences. We're cautioned to turn away from them. Spiritually speaking, we live in a high-crime neighborhood. It's called Satan's world. And it's an evil place. We cannot afford to let the door of our mind go unguarded, because the enemy is waiting for any opportunity to break in. He's there ready to sneak in and infiltrate your mind. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Very familiar scripture. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan is looking for ways to get into your mind, waiting for you to leave the door unlatched one day so that he can get in and play around with it a little bit. Make you accept things that you shouldn't accept. You see, he doesn't want us to have the mind of Christ. He wants to get that out of there and put something else in place of it. He wants to put his thoughts and his ideas in there. But we control what goes in and out of our minds. We have complete control over that. And nothing goes into the mind unless we allow it to come in. We have the responsibility to resist his attempts to infiltrate our minds. Let's continue in verse 9. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. With God's Spirit, we have a security system against him. We have a security system that keeps him out. And we have to make sure that it is armed. We need to learn to recognize the potential threats to our mind's security and screen every thought that enters into our mind. I'd like to turn to Ephesians 4, verse 14. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. One of the things that Satan would love to infiltrate our mind with is heresy. Of course, we cannot allow heresy to find a way in. We cannot allow false doctrine into our minds. That's one thing we definitely need to keep out. Never allow anyone to put doctrinal error in your mind. And that goes without saying, but it's still something we need to consider. Because I know that we have known people who in years past have left the church over heresy, who allowed a wrong teaching to infiltrate their mind. They allowed Satan to come in, and it took them out. Listening to rumors and gossip can threaten the mind as well. We're told to give no regard to loose words and idle talk, but instead stay with sound words. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, it says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." Gossip has taken its share out of the church as well. I've seen it over the years. I've been in the church a long time, and I've seen people leave the church because of gossip and idle talk. And it will take you out. Galatians 5:19. We've read this many times, I'm sure. Galatians 5:19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." We cannot let our mind dwell on any of these works of the flesh. You may think that you don't practice these things. You don't practice idolatry. You don't practice uncleanness or adultery or drunkenness. But do you allow your mind to dwell on them sometimes? You have no reason to even think about these things. Because as it says here, they will not only take you out of the church, they will take you out of the kingdom of God. Philippians 4, verse 8. He tells us here what we should put into our minds. And if it doesn't fall into any of these categories, then it probably shouldn't go in. Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Occupy your mind with things like these. These are the kind of things that are healthy, spiritually speaking, for our mind. Well, how do we guard our minds from threats such as these? We have to remember that the enemy is stronger than we are. He's more clever than we can imagine, and he knows how to get into our mind if we allow it. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, we're given the answer. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You see, we aren't even in Satan's league. He is so far above us in what he is capable of doing. So far above us in the category of clever, that he can deceive us, he can trick us. But it's only with God's Spirit that we're able to stand against it. God does provide the spiritual armor we need to stay safe. It's important that we refuse access to all kinds of wrong thoughts. Sinful and carnal actions originate in the mind. They originate in the heart. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. That's where these things begin. We start thinking about them, and then the next thing you know, it becomes acceptable. and were involved deeper than we wanted to be. Mark 7, verse 20. And he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." That's where it starts. It starts in the mind. It starts inside of you and will eventually manifest itself on the outside. Satan is going to try to slip these thoughts in wherever he can. It is imperative that we keep a guard on the door of our mind. Don't let anything in that is not of God. God's Spirit is there to help us along in this endeavor. Look at one final scripture. That's in Psalms 121, verse 7. Psalms 121, verse 7. It says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth, and even forevermore." God will preserve us if we follow Him. He will protect His investment if we show Him that that's what we want. We have to make sure that the security system is armed. God provided the system. We just have to make sure it's turned on. We have to do our part to guard the door of our mind. We can't be careless and let just anything in. We need to discern where our thoughts come from. So don't let anything in that comes from an ungodly source. And that can include movies or TV. It can include music. It can include the friends you hang out with. Even they can be a bad influence on you. As our kids were growing up, that's one of the things we always prayed for, was that they would be surrounded by other people who would influence them in a good way, and that they'd be shielded from those who were of bad influence. So even the friends you hang out with can be an influence. Surround yourself with those who are of a good influence, and make every effort to keep your mind pure and undefiled. You wouldn't leave your physical possessions unguarded. You wouldn't leave your car on the street with the keys in it. You wouldn't leave your house wide open when you go on vacation. Even more so should the door to your mind be guarded. It should be locked. It should be secure. Ask God for help in keeping out those worldly ideas and worldly thoughts. Fill your mind with that which is godly, because nothing less than being like-minded with Christ will do.